So good morning, Dave Weiner here. A couple of days ago, I wrote a piece called I'm Sticking with WordPress. And in that piece, I outlined, I guess the title sort of expresses where I'm at with it. I've been reading the press releases and the comments online and sort of the general despair in the WordPress community, and because nobody's communicating to them. I mean, what you've got is two very large companies relative to the size of us, and they're having a fight, and we don't know the full context of the fight. And in the process of the back and forth, you know, legal drafts, what you have is, I mean, I have been through things like this. I mean, it's the lawyers are running the show here, and when I say I've been through these kinds of, nothing like this in terms of scope, just disagreements where the lawyers are running the show, or you're not letting the lawyers run the show, you know. The lawyers have no sensitivity to communication with communities. They're very focused on winning the legal case. They know what the client is out to get, what they want, you know, what they would consider a victory. And, you know, all lawyers are different. You know, some lawyers, I've had lawyers try to talk me out of my position and say, you know, you really need to consider the other guy's point of view more. You know, I feel like, yes, I've considered their point of view, but at the same time, I've considered my point of view too. And ultimately, this case, when you're arguing it, is going to be representing my point of view. I'm not, you know, and of course, there are times when you, what's the right word for it? You give in. You know, you've given two choices, and one says, on the one hand, you're going to pay this person some money and you don't think they deserve the money, and you know, and aside from that, you would like to keep the money. On the other hand, you know, the cost of not paying the money is so much greater than the cost of paying the money. And so what do you do? I've done both things. I mean, there have been times when I was right and I was really pissed off that somebody was, you know, trying to take advantage of a situation like that. They know they're creating so much trouble for you that it would be better just to pay them off, and you decide, nope, this isn't the time I'm going to do that. It's like what we're seeing here is a lot of that. But at the same time, we're learning that there are various different entities involved here. WordPress.com, WordPress.org, Automattic, Matt Mullenweg. What's the name of that company? The other company is WP Engine, I think is what it's called. And each one, I mean, I haven't been reading their briefs so much, but I've been reading the Automattic, you know, the Matt side. I've been reading those, skimming them at least. And yeah, you're getting a clear picture that there is a sort of theme going. It's complicated. Yes, it is open source, and they make a huge deal about it being open source, but at the same time, it's a very large capitalist enterprise. And I don't use capitalist as a dirty word, by the way. It's just descriptive. It's just saying what it is. So when you look at open source, you tend to think of something that is outside of capitalism. But this very clearly is right inside. And the lawyers are repping it as if there's an infringement on rights. And they want to, you know, so they often overstate their case, you know. I have certainly seen this, like in the case of the EFF, arguing to try to protect podcasting and in doing so undermine podcasting. Unbelievable. I mean, it's like they really think they're doing us a favor by doing that. And yet I tried to get in the loop on that just to have a discussion. I knocked and knocked. I couldn't get through. It's like, wow, you know, but there are the lawyers. They wanted to say that podcasting began before RSS existed, which undermines our whole story about what podcasting is. I mean, you know. Somebody now can fight I don't know. Who knows what the... We're not going to fight those battles anyway. That's like, it's up to the world to figure that one out. I'm not in there, you know? I never really have been. So, why did I want to speak? I wanted to speak because, yes, I'm not leaving because I've spent the last, a good part of the last couple of years working on a project that is coming to fruition now. And its goal is to create a very simple writing tool for WordPress, or specifically WordPress.com. And it's a product. I mean, you know, there is a customer, user. I believe there's a huge number of them, and they're not being served. There's a hole in the market. It happens to be right in the middle of what I understand as well as anybody does, is what do writers need out of blogging tools, blogging systems, or what do you want to call it? Or, you know, WordPress is a content management system. I call Manila, which was Userland's comparable product to WordPress. I called it a CMS too. It was later in life that it became what we understood what blogging was, and that it was going to be a hosting system for those, and then it was a subset of the CMS functions that we turned into. There was one iteration called Manila, and then there was another iteration that was outside of Manila called Radio Userland, and each time it got simpler and more focused and more popular. It's like when you really figure out what a product is used for and where the sweet spot, what the customers want, you know? And it's a process. You have to figure that out. You don't come into it knowing. I mean, I know it looks like when you're looking at it historically, it looks like, well, why did it take them so long to figure this out? Well, because we didn't understand what the fuck we were doing. We had an inkling that there was something there worth doing, but we didn't really know what it looked like, and we were trying out ideas and using them mostly first, using them ourselves, and then like putting it out there and watching how people use it, watching how we used it, where did we hit the limits, what features are like confusing people, you know? And then you just roll, you know, it's like over and over, iterate until out the end, hopefully what comes out is something that is cohesive, coherent, and that it like, oh, this makes sense, I get it. And ultimately the greatest compliment that that the users can pay you is that it thinks like I do, which of course is not true. No, software doesn't think at all. The designer thinks, and tries to set things up in a certain way. And what it really means, what that translates to me, is that it got out of your way and let you do what you do. And I don't think that WordPress has ever gotten that treatment. This is my bet. This is my 2-year bet, okay? I mean, I did other things in the 2 years. I mean, it was like I'd come and go between this product because I needed to do that because I needed to get to a point where it was something that I wanted to use. And it's there. I'm using it. You know, it fills a niche for me. And I do. I use it for my early morning blogging, writing. It used to be what I used Twitter for. Long story. Not going to get into that right now. But I love the idea of having a simple, easy notepad that works on the web, and then the content can get from there easily into wherever its home is going to be. So it's sort of a way station on its way into, it may be not, some of the things that I write in this sort of, you know, sketchpad sort of place, some of them don't become blog posts, you know. And that, you know, that's not saying anything, it's just an idea. It was good to get it out there. So, and so my feeling is that you have to look at the situation not just through the lens of these organizations that are fighting, but rather I want to put the focus on the people who are using. Right? I mean, I think that when all is said and done, maybe the fighting will be like, oh, we wonder why we were fighting so much over this, because it turns out there was a huge market sitting right there and we weren't even thinking about it. But the truth is, I know they are thinking about it. It's just there's a difference between thinking about it and actually being able to act on it. And, you know, when you, and I don't want to go into detail, you know, if they're doing at Automattic what I'm doing or at any of these entities, I'm not aware of it. And that doesn't mean it isn't happening. And if it is, then let's work together, because and ultimately my goal here really, I mean, I'm going to put a product out here, you know, and I'm going to hope people love it the way I love it, and that it's going to be able to iterate slowly, carefully, based on what we learn. And eventually what it will be a fixture that for a lot of people, that they'll use it. But then there's a, I won't say it's a more important purpose, but it's a, I would say equally important purpose, is for it to lay a foundation for other products to go into this space, into this slot. Because I don't think there is one writing tool for everybody. I mean, I know that, you know, there's all kinds of variation in writing tools. And the tragedy of the web world that we live in today is that the environment, how to put this, if you, let me just be like, I'll just say it directly. If I'm in Mastodon, I have to use their writing tool. If I'm in Threads, I have to use their writing tool. If I'm in Blue Sky, I have to use theirs. If I'm in Twitter, I have to use theirs. But these writing tools aren't being differentiated by how well they work for what kind of writer. They're awful writing tools. They're the ugliest, worst. I call them tiny little text boxes. They're the exact, I mean, they're the kind of place that you would go if you were writing a text message, because that's the heritage. That's, you know, I was there at the beginning of Twitter. I know what those guys were trying to do. They started out with SMS and they said, can we create a groupware product out of SMS? That was the ultimate, the original spec for what Twitter was. And it still is that in so many ways, because, you know, that's what it is. That's why it has all the limits. That's where the character limits come from, that SMSs don't have titles because they're too short to have titles. That's ridiculous. They're things that you hit with, you enter with both thumbs while you're holding your phone, while you're in the middle of doing a million other things. When I think about writing, I'm thinking about something completely different. I'm sitting at my computer. I've set out a few hours to work. This is my favorite kind of work. So I really have cleared the schedule. I mean, you know, if I ever think about, oh, I have to do this, I forgot to do that, I remind myself, no, this is time for me. I'm only doing stuff for me right here at this time. I've carved out this time and I'm writing. And it's very, very different sort of thing from the, you know, the tiny little text box. That's not to say, you see, I think that some other people that have put products into this space have missed the simplicity of the tiny little text box too. That if we were coming at it the other way and there were only full screen editors available for this, that this is one theory of focusing, is say, just clear the screen and give me a place to type. That really helps you focus. And you see, that's one way of, you see, when I say that there are multiple ways of doing this, that's what I mean. I mean, for some people, forget it. That's the only way to write. Now, for me, no, not interested. I understand. I can deal with a few distractions on the screen. That doesn't bother me. What I want, but I don't want to hit any walls. I don't want the software to stop and, you know, accepting characters just because I've gone over some limit that somebody somewhere at some point decided I had to have. The network that I use doesn't have that limit. That's the crazy thing about it. I mean, if you look at the bandwidth of the networks that we used in 2006 when Twitter came along and the bandwidth of the networks that we use in 2024, well, there's no comparison. I mean, it's like, I mean, seriously, I can upload multiple megabytes per second. I can download many multiple megabytes per second. I can stream video. I mean, they like to say it's in commercials, but it happens to be true. I can stream video on five different devices, very high resolution stuff, and it all works. It's great. So there's no shortage of bandwidth for text, for crying out loud. We send videos over these things that are, you know, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like huge. This is not a limit here. So anyway, so I set out to make an editor that has, if you go to the text casting document that I wrote, it's at textcasting.org. That was the guideline for this editor. I mean, I didn't say that in there. Maybe I did. Or maybe I alluded to it. But it was when I was starting out this project and really getting serious about it, I needed to write down specifically what it was that I was aiming at. What functionality did I want to be in this thing? And I iterated over that too. I mean, you know, I thought kind of judiciously, there are a lot of things I didn't put in there. Like, you know, I want to use different font sizes in my document. No, not interested in that yet. Not now. I'm looking for sort of a certain calmness to the writing. I'm not looking for, you know, whatever. What was that place? MySpace, I think was what it was called. I'm not looking for really whatever. I mean, it was thought through. So textcasting.org, that will give you a rough outline. I put it out early, made it public early because our networks have to grow a little bit. They need to get some more features before they can carry this kind of content. It's a key point. The networks that we have, which I kind of listed before, you know, Blue Sky, Threads, Mastodon, Twitter. I know I'm leaving something out. RSS certainly counts as one of them. And whatever else, they consistently do not support the features of text casting. So once this comes out, and that's just a bonus because this also works with WordPress. You see, it's a writing tool for WordPress. So, you know, it's not waiting for that to happen to be useful because WordPress also happens to be text casting, I hate this word, compliance. That's what they say when you support a format. They say you're compliant. I don't like that. I like, you know, friendly, compatible, but compliant is the technical word. Yeah, WordPress, I was very aware of that. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that there. Is that here you have, and then, okay, so now I'm finally going to get swing rack around to the point. WordPress is too valuable a thing to walk away from. It's amazing what it is. You know, I had this whole thing when Napster, I mean, now we're at a point where people that were born the year Napster happened are now 24 years old. They're adults. They don't remember anything about it because it was happening as they were being born. They have no concept of what the world was like before Napster. Most of my life was before Napster. And it was, the thing about Napster was that it freed up, and I know it sounds like a tangent, but it really isn't. Before Napster, you couldn't program your own music. By that, I mean, if you thought, man, I would really, this morning I wanted to hear my mother, it's me better, but her breeding I denied. Mama Tried, I think is the name of the song. It was written by, I believe, Merle Haggard, but I learned it from the Grateful Dead. It's a wonderful Grateful Dead song. It's a Bob Weir is singing it. For whatever reason, this morning I woke up with that tune in my head. And so before I even was out of bed, I said, I'm not going to say the exact text because I have one of these devices sitting right next to me. Well, let's give it a try. Alexa, play Mama Tried by the Grateful Dead.
Mama Tried, live at Fillmore East, New York, New York, April 26, 1971, by Grateful Dead, on Amazon Music.
I remember no was a lonesome whistle blow, and a yellow stream growing up to
Alexa, stop. Okay. Okay, you should get the idea. The point being is that if I could go back in time and play that little clip to me in 1998 or 1999, I would have said, yes, that's exactly what I want. And I wouldn't have underestimated for an instant how revolutionary that would be. Because, and I've been writing about this too, is the power of music. You know, everybody knows what the power of music is. It's like it's a time capsule. It takes you back in time. And Alexa, play Father and Son by Cat Stevens.
Father and Son by Cat Stevens on Amazon Music.
Alexa, stop. I'm not going to play the whole song because it really gets to me. It really does. Alexa, stop. It really does. And it came on, I was listening to the radio on Father's Day in the year 2000. And the song came on. And it, like I said, that song gets to me. And the first time it really got to me because I had a really rough relationship with my father. And, you know, not going to go into that because I will get emotional. I am getting emotional. And I don't, that's not what this is for. But I wanted to hear it again. Having heard it once, I said, well, let's try that again and see what was really going on there. And of course, I had no way of doing that. So I had heard about Napster. I had tried Napster a few months earlier and couldn't find any music that made a difference to me. And so I said, let's give it a try. And I looked it up and there it was. And I listened to it, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times. I go, man, that's incredible. So then, of course, I started naming my other favorite songs and bands. And they were all there. And that's when it hit me that we're there and now we're here. And wow. I mean, I can't even find words for it now. And, you know, in a way I kind of pity people that never lived in the world before this because it's like to have a revelation like that is an amazing thing in itself. You know, they say the journey is the reward. There's a passing passage that only we could make. People that had life before 2000 and after 2000. So I argued, I had a blog, and my blog was a lot more important than it is now. There were a lot fewer blogs, and I had started blogging in Silicon Valley. I was the first one to do it, and I was also a Silicon Valley insider at the time, very well known, connected. Worked with reporters all the time, had a successful IPO, which was, all, you know, it's a rite of passage into acceptance. And so I was listened to, and also, and the tech industry was on, I was on the side of the tech industry here, 100%. But the music industry wanted to kill Napster. And they were real pigs about it, I have to say. I mean, gotta say, unbelievable how evil and mean and stupid and low road people these were. You know, it's like it was funny because the things they were asking for, technically, they just wanted to destroy the internet. They were asking me, they were literally asking me questions, you know, to try to help them destroy the thing that I was like getting the biggest thrill out of. I mean, that's how you talk about tone deaf. I mean, right. Anyway, but I argued, I tried to take the high road here, and I tried to say, look, any industry would kill to have all their users in one place, all of them, so you could communicate with every one of them at once. How do you ever do that? You can't. I mean, but here you have it. Can't you find something to do with this that is as powerful as the thing is? I mean, literally at the time, people were talking about music in the frickin' supermarkets. You'd go on an airplane and everybody would be tripping out about Napster. It was all anybody could talk about, and the music. It wasn't about, like, Napster. Who gave a shit about the software? It wasn't, I mean, it worked, but it was pretty ugly. It wasn't a pretty piece of software. It didn't matter. It got you the music, and it was, like, great. But they got their way. They sued him out of business, and that was it. So my point is, okay, WordPress, amazing product. Why? Because it's all that's left. Seriously. It's what's left from... it's left. It still exists in a form that is useful to the web. Whereas Twitter and Blue Sky and all the rest of them, forget it. They're on a corporate path. I mean, Mastodon is great. I like Mastodon, actually. Let me carve out a little niche there for Mastodon. Because, because we work with them. Because there's a back and forth there. And because we've been able to accomplish a lot with it as it is in terms of that text casting thing. And some people believe we're going to go all the way with it and we'll do it very soon. And then Mastodon will become something completely different. And you'll be able to build things that hook into it that are also part of the text casting network. And you get enough momentum going there, and you want to know something, all the others are going to have to do it too. Because that only lets you in on the secret of podcasting, or in my opinion. Obviously, it's only one person's opinion, but this is why I think podcasting has resisted being taken over by the tech industry. You see, I'm not always on the side of the tech industry. In fact, in this whole area, I'm generally very opposed to the tech industry. What they've done is, like, you know, what they call clear cutting. It's like the lumber industry would take a mountain and they would just completely denude it, take all the trees, like, kill everything about it. They do that in the Amazon. They just don't have any sense of continuity. They're not trying to have, they don't care about if they have any trees to harvest 10 years from now or 100 years from now. They'll just take everything and kill everything, the ecosystem. That's the tech industry. What they've done is they've put us all into these tiny little text boxes. They're not looking for any communication happening here. What they're looking for is, you know, first of all, they want revenue. Maybe that's not first of all. First of all, they want to dominate. And then the revenue they can have will be truly awesome, because it's when you have competition is when your revenue is, you know, it's not depressed, but it's limited. You can't burn everybody, you know, if you have competition. So, you know, but on the other hand, I think we're going to get text casting. It may take a little while. It may have to. This one may be one of those things we have to iterate through, but the initial result and this lovely, I'm not going to say its name. I don't like saying its name until it's something that you can see, right? Or maybe it'll come a little bit earlier. But right now, I just want to talk about it vaguely as a product, you know, is that it will also, in addition to be writing for WordPress, it will also be writing for ActivityPub. And that I will have done nothing to accomplish, because the people at, I think they're at WordPress. I don't know which one of these organizations they're at. I don't really care. As long as they get the job done, that's fine with me. Anyway, so the thing about that's different between WordPress and Napster is that there is no music industry trying to destroy it. And no matter what happens, I honestly don't believe that this battle between these two companies is going to end up destroying WordPress. I honestly don't believe it. Because that's the one thing all of the individuals and companies and entities have in common is they can't exist without the base, number one. And number two, even if they were to disappear, we could create a distributed WordPress that no one owns based on the software as it exists today. I'm pretty damn sure of that. Not because I'm any expert. Actually, to tell you the truth, I have spent a full year learning how to make software that runs on their network, though. I'll tell you that much. I do know. Yeah. Now, I don't know anything about operating a WordPress server, you know, the software. But I've got to figure that's out there. There are a lot of people that know how to do that. And even if that were to fail, it's not going to fail anyway. But even if it were, then we still have the APIs. And the API that we're using to hook up to WordPress is something, well, I call it Calypso. I don't think actually that's what they call it. I think Calypso is the software, the end user software. So it's like WCOM or something. When I hit it on node.js, I think it's WPCOM is the name of the package. Honestly, don't bother remembering these things. I call it Calypso. It's a much more memorable name. And maybe I'll get myself organized on this and start to do this right. But it's a fine API. There's nothing wrong with it. And to make it even more portable, I've built an API on top of that. And I don't want to like to toot my own horn, but one of the things I'm really, really good at is APIs. It's not only because I have always been an adherent to factoring, which means, and I've described that here, you know, it's like iterative simplification. Another word for it is paving the cow paths. Although it's much more than that, but it's like trying to discern the cow paths, trying to see the patterns and where are we going here. And then once you know, make it easy to do that. That's the thing you want to do. And when you come down to it, what WordPress is doing is, well, they've been doing it for 20 years, and they've done a good job at doing that, iterating. And if you're going to start somewhere, it's like what I used to say about RSS, is that, great, you know, you don't like RSS. Well, go ahead and do your own. But you want to know something? When you're done with it, it's just going to be RSS with different names. Because there aren't two ways to do this. There just aren't. And, you know, it is exactly what happened. But because I knew. It wasn't like I was making a prediction that I had any doubt about. It was 100% sure. There were no choices there. I mean, maybe a few, but it basically amounted to, what do you call this thing, you know? And the same thing's true with text casting. It's just another name for what we thought of as a document at the beginning of the web. It's saying, look, if we want to get back some of the power that we let them take from us, the power to write on this medium and to have all the right things that we need to do that, then these are the things we need. It pays to know what you need. And then do that anywhere. And if it becomes popular, your damn tootin' my software is going to work with it. Because I'm not wed to any particular piece of software. I'm not even wed to my own software here. What I want is I want to create, because I'm really, like I said, I'm really good at APIs, a whole new platform, and I've got a perfect place to put it. It's WordPress. And I think that, now, I have gotten burned by betting on platforms that turned out to be not worth betting on. And I lost my whole investment. And it happens, you know. On the other hand, I've made investments at times when it seemed unwise to make the investment because the general consensus was, this is not a good place to invest, where it's paid off fantastically. Because not only was everybody wrong about that, But I had it to myself because everybody was doing the conventional wisdom. And when Moore came out in 1986, it came out at the same damn time that the Mac started its boom. It had been, I mean, it really did feel dead in the years before, 84, 85, except for the very beginning. But 86, Moore came out. Mac Plus came out, nothing else. Well, You know, you got to love that, right? So sometimes everybody thinking, hey, you know, that's not going anywhere. Sometimes that's actually a good thing for market, because there's going to be a market there. And if whoever it is that's building there doesn't mind having competition, which I swear to God, I don't mind. I don't mind because I'm getting really old. So, you know, my horizon is much more limited than it was when I was hungry, when I was in my 20s and 30s. And I was successful in my 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. And so I got plenty of money. I'm not worried about money. That's like the last thing I'm thinking about. What I'm thinking about is the glory of this thing called the web and how it was such a great promise and how we kind of let it be usurped. We kind of let it be sidelined. And now we fully understand that there wasn't a pot of gold. There wasn't Nirvana sitting at the end of Twitter. In fact, what Twitter has become should be a reminder to everybody is that when you think that's what you're looking at, if it's a company running it, it's not going to be the Nirvana you might hope it is. You know, it didn't go anywhere. It imposed limits. And as its smoldering corpse now, which is what it is, I mean, it's got a lot of users, so it's a useful smoldering corpse, at least so far, I guess. But it's like you have to think about everything that we projected onto it, every hope we projected onto it, in light of what actually happened. And please, let's not make that mistake again. Although, you know, I'm sure we will. So anyway, that's my thinking. That's why I'm sticking with WordPress. I think there's a huge opportunity sitting there. I think the confusion may actually be a good thing for right now in terms of, I don't know, it makes everybody feel a little bit more independent, not waiting for anything, maybe being willing to seize the moment. Certainly how I feel about it. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.